Hello, it's Christine. I'm with Ian Coates. And if you remember last time we spoke to Ian, he'd been through Africa and then Australia and New Zealand, where I think he probably met nearly all of Todmorden and Hebden Bridge. There were so many names that he could mention. Now we're going to follow him as he manages to get from New Zealand to South America. To Central America, that's the islands in the Bahamas and around there, and then right the way up to Alaska. Now, Ian, we've got you, and you've been all the way around Australia, keeping the sea to the left-hand side, wasn't it? So
Yes,
that
I went clockwise.
so you knew where you were,
Yeah.
because I don't think you have any maps, do you,
No,
when
I
you're
don't
doing
have any
these?
maps or GPSs.
No.
I like getting lost and meeting people and asking them where I am.
So, right, so you've gone from Australia to New Zealand,
Yes.
and what made you decide to choose where you were going next when you were in New Zealand?
Well, I knew that if I could get to South America, in my mind, I thought if I can ride up to the top of Alaska and then get a boat to drop me off somewhere in Russia, once I get to Russia, I'm all right. I can ride home from there. So I thought, oh, that's what I'll do. But before I left New Zealand, I had a slight accident and had a spine operation, and they told me to go home and rest. But they didn't tell me which way I had to go. So that's when I left and went to Argentina, but I took it steady for a few months.
So how did you get from New Zealand to Argentina?
Right, I shipped my motorbike from Auckland, New Zealand, in a container to Argentina, to Buenos Aires, and then I flew out.
And which way around did you
I don't know. I
go?
don't know which way it went. I haven't a clue. I don't know which way by it went. I don't know which way I went, but I finished up in Argentina.
And down at the bottom, isn't it quite cold? Because you're
Oh,
getting
yeah.
down near the Falklands,
Well,
aren't
I
you?
don't organise anything because I just take it as it comes. So I don't go in dry season, wet season, winter, summer. So, and I forgot that in South America they have the winter at wrong time of year. They have it in summer, in July. So I'm finishing up when I picked up at Buenos Aires and then rode right at bottom. And I thought, hell, it's getting a bit nippy, is this? It's getting a bit like Blackshear. Anyway, it started snowing. And I went right to the bottom and a little town called Ushuaia, and it's the most southernest point in South America. And when I got there, it was snowing. And it took me 3 days. I wanted to put my front wheel in water. I thought, well, that's it, lad. You end at land. There's no left. I thought, right, simple. I'll turn around and go to other end, Alaska. So I did though. But it took me 3 days to get out of Ushuaia uphill because it snowed. But just to tell you, that were in 2003, and I put my front wheel in the water at Dead Horse at Prudhoe Bay in Alaska in 2009. It had only taken me 6 years to get up.
Wait. 6 years to travel the length of
Yeah,
South
from
America,
Argentina to top.
North America.
Yeah,
Okay.
very a long way.
Roughly how many miles? Do you
Ah, I've no
know?
clue.
No,
No, I
I
don't
don't
bother.
know. So which side? Because one side of South America is very mountainous,
Oh
isn't
yeah, I went
it?
up that as well, up
You're
Andes.
in the
I
Andes,
go for
right.
I zigzag my way up so I don't want to miss out. Well, I zigzag because I'm lost. Sometime I'm back where I set off from a few days before. So I just zigzag my way up. So I went all the way, I'll just tell you right quick. I went all the way around Argentina, Chile, Uruguay, Paraguay, Brazil, Bolivia, Peru, Ecuador, Colombia, Venezuela. And then when I got to Venezuela, I'd been talking out all the English, but I couldn't understand what they were saying because they all talk same. And they said, I was talking to a bloke, they said, oh, that island there, Trinidad and Tobago, they speak English. I says, all right, I'll go there. So I managed to get dropped off in Trinidad and Tobago. This is just telling you the route I went. There's lots of comical stuff. Of course, when I got there was no boats that take you. It's just a dodgy way out to get there. Anyway, when I got there, I couldn't get out. There's no boats going to Panama.
What? Why? What's the problem with
Well,
it?
there's no nobody goes there. Foot passengers can go, on a ferry, but they don't take boats. A ferry from Venezuela to Trinidad. But there's nothing from for motorbikes or cars. But I got there. How I got there, I give a captain of an oil rig supply boat $100 to drop me off in Trinidad.
Well, of course, there's a lot of oil.
Yeah, it dropped me off. Fiddle. When I got there, I couldn't find out to get me back to Panama. That's when I got this here boat. Everybody knew this Englishman was stuck in Trinidad. Actually, I was in Tobago that this time. And a shipping agent contacted me saying that there's a three-masted tall ship from Grimsby at anchor in Shagarams Bay in Trinidad, with no engineer, and they want to go through Panama Canal. Can I help? And they know I needed to go to Panama City to get there. I said, yes. So I came down to see them, and I said, I can mend out what you have on this boat. It's all Grimsby trawler. So I put my motorbike on, and they'd taken 15 years converting it from a trawler to a three-masted tall ship. But they'd done nothing engine room. It was just as if they just abandoned it.
Well, believe me, just setting the sails on a tall ship is a work of art.
I know.
I've done it.
I had to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this...
It's frightening.
Oh, hey, I've been in a bloody... I'll tell you this, lass.
It's frightening.
The minute the owners were on board, they were old people. They'd be like 65. A bit younger than me, but they acted old.
Spring chickens.
They acted old. But the minimum crew for this boat, it was 650 ton, 150 foot. It was a bloody big ship. The minimum crew was 16. The most we ever had were 11. And that's including old couple who owned it.
So they just set off...
on a maiden voyage from...
the SS...
Jaguar, from Grimsby to New Zealand.
Via the Panama Canal.
You see.
So they'd already crossed the Atlantic.
But
didn't you say that they were no engineer?
No engineer. They kept having people volunteers to help them. They didn't have a captain. I could have been captain if I could have read a GPS.
Oh my god!
They didn't have hope down. It was right. I thought so. When we got to, so I was welding everything, doing everything up. So when we got to Panama and getting through the canal, they said, "Oh, Ian, me and my wife, we'd like you to stay on to New Zealand." And I said, "Nay, I left there 4 years ago." I says, "You know I'm off to Alaska." They says, "Well, we're going to spend 7 months visiting all the islands in the Pacific." I said, "All right, then I'll go back to New Zealand." They said, "But don't you want to think about it?" So I just thought about it. I'll go. It's right.
Well, if somebody offers you a trip on a tall ship.
Yeah.
Three-masted tall ship. And
So I did all that.
So go on, what islands did you go to?
Make
us all jealous.
Well,
jealous.
Curacao, I think that in Dutch Antilles, that's just before you get to Panama Canal. Did that, just off Venezuela. Then went through Canal. And then next one was St. Cristobal in Galapagos. And then after that were Tahiti. There was Bora Bora, Rarotonga, Tonga, Eva Ova, all French Polynesian islands, because they were just like me on Wata. They were lost all the time. You know, and I thought, what a good do this is. Mm. And then last one were Fiji. Mm. Now then, we left, as I say, the most crew we ever had were 11. Minimum was 16. And from Fiji, in a gale, to New Zealand were three of us, and that were bad.
It's a very exposed sea, isn't it's like the Atlantic.
Yeah,
really,
bloody ropes
were
nearly the size, thickness of a bloody golf ball, and it was snapping them ropes off in gale because we're trying to get sails down.
They're heavy.
Yeah, get them down, just cut them go.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this damn boat had no bloody keel.
Oh, you joke!
It had no keel. It were a trawler. It were round bottom. I mean, they forgot that all they did...
You can't steer.
No.
If you haven't got a keel, can't steer.
They put all that money on deck upwards, but not underneath. So that were a bit of a dodgy do. Anyway, so all French Polynesians. So 7 months later, I arrived back into Auckland. And people kept saying, well, what are you doing here?
Auckland's on the North Island, isn't it?
North Island.
North Island, New Zealand, yeah.
And And I said, oh, I just had a bit of an hiccup. I said, where can I get, I want to send my motorbike now to Panama. So lads told me, and I sent it to Panama, and I flew out. And then I set off from Panama, and I rode all the way around, Nicaragua, Costa Rica. I'm doing this on my head. El Salvador, Guatemala, Belize, Mexico, USA, Canada, including Vancouver Island and all little islands around it, then up to Alaska, and then I got right to the top and put my front wheel in water at Prudhoe Bay Dead Horse and it, in 2009, and it just took me 6 years to get there. That were very quick. And it was coming cold, it was April, August. So I get to the top, and I've been told that Aeroflot run a cargo flight from Anchorage to Magadan in Russia. So I turned round and came back down to Anchorage, only to find out that Aeroflot had stopped 3 years before doing flights.
Because the Magellan Straits up at the top, yeah. Up there, they're not very, very wide. It's less than the English Channel.
Yeah, but I wasn't going for. I was going flying over.
But even so.
Yeah, it isn't far.
It isn't far between Alaska. Russia. Yeah.
No, Bering Sea, isn't it? So I'm there, and I thought, well, that's all right. I'll have more time here. So then I just rode around Alaska till winter was coming in. So I moved south then to Vancouver Island, and I were there for a month riding around there, and then I finished up in Rockies. In Calgary, and I went to look at some people up at Edmonton, Robert Parker from Edmonton. I went to look at him, and then up to Banff and Jasper, and just loafed about all winter till the following April. And then people kept saying it's too early to ship it, so I shipped it from Seattle to Vladivostok in April. So I shipped it there, and I flew there. I went to Korea first. My bike went straight there, and I had a look around a bit at Korea, and then to Vladivostok, where my bike was shipped up.
We're going to stop at this point of Ian Coates' adventures, as related to Christine, and we'll carry on with Ian next month from Russia to Italy.